I've ever seen before. And for some reason, God gave me two words. Either or. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, either or. Sometimes as we go through life, we are faced with either or situations. And there's going to come a moment in your life when a decision is going to have to be made. And there's only two choices that you're going to have. And it's going to be either or. Amen? And in the spiritual realm in which we live in, because we are spirit-filled people, the passages that I read, Jesus offers us a situation that is either or. Now, when it's either or, there's no compromise. There's nothing in the middle. There's no and. It's either or. So allow me to point out these situations that were described in Scripture today. So let me encourage you, when you listen to the Word of God, know that you have to look deep inside your heart, because Christ wants us to be either or. Either you're with him or you're not. The scripture says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. So I want to give you a principle this morning, that the road that you travel always determines your destination. The path that Jesus is talking about, one of them he describes as being wide. This wide path is easy to navigate. There's plenty of room. Wide is easy to enter. It requires only to follow. To follow that path. It doesn't require you to be squeezed or to do something that's a little abnormal. There's no difficulties in going through that wide path. Amen? You don't have to listen to anybody. Nobody got to give you any instruction. You just follow that road. The scripture talks of a straight gate. When you go through a straight gate, that means that it's narrow and it's difficult. And there's some difficulty entering into the straight gate. Now, as Christians, we are told that we have to go through that straight gate. That straight gate is not always easy. It's a little hard. As a matter of fact, sometimes when you look at the gate, you say, do you really want me to go through that gate? But Jesus is saying, you can go through that gate. And if you want to get to where I want to take you, you have to go through that gate. Because if you don't go to that gate, then you're going to go through the other gate. It's an either-or situation. The demands of each path, the path that is broad, leads to destruction, the scripture tells me. And that path leads to hell. Let me tell you something this morning. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And that wide path that's so easy to follow is the road to hell. That one that is real narrow, that don't have a lot of people on it, is leading to heaven. But there's only two destinations. There's no middle ground. It's either or. So either you're going to work yourself into a spiritual shape that you can go through that narrow gate, or you're just going to just don't bother and go to hell through that broad path. The broad path is accessed through a broad gate. The devil is at the gate saying, come on in. There's room for everybody. There's room for you. You don't have to be squeezed. You don't have to worry about sitting close next to somebody. There's plenty of room for you. In fact, everyone in this room came in on that broad path. When I was born on that broad path. When you were born on that broad path. Because the scripture says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. And then in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you can be born, you're born on this broad path, and if you never get salvation, you're a sinner. So to continue on this path, it requires you to do nothing. And let me tell you, it's easier to do nothing than to do something. We are in a do-nothing society. You know, years ago, people wanted to do something. You had to do something. When you got up in the morning, you had to do something. Before you went to school, you had to do something. If you were allowed to go to school. Y'all not getting that, but that's okay. If you were allowed to go to school, you had to do something. And if you was a do-nothing, they didn't allow no do-nothings around the house. But you know, in the house of God, there's a lot of do-nothings. And God will allow do-nothings to be in the house because he knows one day they're going to get their just due. You are born in this world headed in that direction because you carry baggage that you were born with. You know, when you're on that broad path, you can carry all the baggage that you want. How many know that we all got baggage? Sometimes that baggage leads us down a wrong path. And if you like that baggage and you like carrying that load, that wide path will welcome you because it's easier. Christ doesn't want us to have all that baggage. As a matter of fact, when you go through that narrow road and that straight gate, you can't take all of that stuff with you. You'll never get through. They don't allow it on that path. There's plenty of room on the wide path for all of your sins and all the garbage that you got with you. But there's only one way to get on this other path. Thomas, in John 14:5-6, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in 1 John 5:12, it said, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So in order to have this life, you have to go through that narrow path. Passing through that gate is going to require you to lose that excess baggage that you have. You can't bring your sins along with you. You can't bring your other gods along with you. You can't bring those things from the old life through that narrow gate. I heard Sister Yvette say this morning, I used to party, but now I'm partying for Christ. Nobody says you can't party for Christ. Nobody says that you can't have a good time. But the devil is going to tell you, you can't, when you're going down that straight road right there, you got to be stiff. Let me tell you, some of the most stiffest people I know are sinners. They're sinners because they're all pent up and got all of this stuff going on inside of them. But when you know Christ, you can let loose. You can party hardy and let your head down and don't care about nothing. Because you can sing the song, One day, I'm going where Jesus lives. I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Caught up to meet him. After earth and time has been forgotten, we'll be wearing our robes. Come on, choir. We'll be wearing our robes. Oh, hallelujah. They sang like some angels this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't about the sound, but it was about the heart. Don't you know Jesus don't care about the sound, but he cares about the heart. Now, this does not imply that everybody who's on that narrow path are perfect. Don't get it wrong now. Just because you're on that narrow path, it don't mean that you don't sin. We know that this is not true. But this is what it does mean, that we repent of our sins. See, I'm saying I'm putting myself in there. That means that we have an intentional break from the manner of life that we used to live, that we embrace Jesus and the plan for our lives. And sometimes we do fail. Don't we? But when we fail, and that failure is not the way that we continue to live our life. Do we sin? Yes, we do. But sin is not a way of life for us. We committed ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we sincerely want to please him. We sincerely want to walk with him, and we sincerely want to be like him. The Bible says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, and the new is here. The scripture also say that we know that we have come to him to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. I heard somebody say this morning that you could sit up here and say you pay tithes and offering, and then with all the trouble you're going through, he can tell you that you're a liar. It's in the scripture. It says, if we do not obey the commandments that he commands and say that we do, it's a lie. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I've seen enough people in the hospital. I'm talking about my family members too. There are times that when the doctor comes and asks questions, you don't want to tell the truth. Because you're embarrassed. But don't you know the doctor already knows? I've been around people who've been smoking for years. And the doctors say, trying to give them treatment, do you smoke? And they say no. How do you expect somebody to rectify something or give you the right prescription if you're going to lie? You can go to the doctor and they say, well, do you drink? And you can say no. But by the time they take your blood and they do all of these tests, they already know. Your liver count is elevated. Who are you fooling? You're not fooling those doctors because they already know. So the reason why I'm saying this is because you can come around the ultimate physician, and you, who is Jesus Christ, and you can lie about all of these things that you say that you're doing, but he already knows. When we get to the second either-or example, the Bible talks about where you're building your house. Amen? Jesus is speaking. He says, and anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is a wise person. Amen? And anyone that does not heed these words that I say is like a fool. Amen? Now, we all like to think that we're smart. Amen? I don't really hear too many people just walk up and say, I'm dumb. If you say it, you're fooling. And you really don't mean it. So Jesus talks about how you start determines your finish. Jesus talks about two houses. And I'm telling you right now, these two houses looked alike. They look alike. Come here, Deacon. Our bodies look alike, but they're different. They got different foundations. So when you looked at the houses, you said it's got a door. It's got windows. It's got a roof. The color of the house might be different, but it's still a house. It still has the fundamental basics of a house. So these houses look alike. They were made from the same material. You see, he's made of skin, and I'm made of skin. He has blood, and I have blood. But the difference in the two houses that Jesus was talking about was the foundation that each house was rested upon. You see, one was built on sand, and the other was built on a rock. But there was something else that was similar about these two houses. These two houses, they were subjected to the same kind of abuse. They had to go through the same thing. One on the sand, the other on the rock. A storm came. The rains fell. The winds blew. The floods wrapped themselves around these houses. But one fell in the storm, and the other was still standing when the storm was over. These men, these builders, they were alike. They both wanted these houses, and they built them. And they watched as the house was being built. Have you ever marveled at something that you were doing? You were creating something, and you just stood back and admired it for a minute. Well, I could see these builders building this house, and then one of them put a door in and stood back and looked and said, "That's a mighty fine door I got there." And then the man on the other side put the roof on, and he said, "I got a strong roof on my house." They admired their work. But when the storm came, one of them looked in horror. When the storms come in your life, do you stand back and you know that God has got you covered? Or do you look in horror because you don't know what you're going to do? The other one looked in satisfaction because he had faith, knowing that building this house upon the rock, that when the storms came, it would not blow over. When the water wrapped itself around, it won't go out to sea. When the winds blew, the wind couldn't blow it away. And he stood back with confidence. Well, our life is the same way. That every person in this room is a builder this morning. Because your life is like a house. Your life pretty much looks like everybody else's life. But it also goes through the same attacks that everybody else is going to go through. That's why when you talk to some people and you tell them you're going through something, they look at you like I'm going through something too. That these storms that you go through, I've gone through them too. But what's different about the storms is how do you feel about the storms? How do you react to the storms in your life? You see, our lives are made of the same material. We have a head, arms, legs, we can breathe, we have eyes, we have blood, we have veins, we have the same material. And we'll all get attacked by these storms. Some are the storms of sickness. Some are the storms of sin. Some are the storms of temptation. Some of the storms that can have 10,000 other names, but they all attack our buildings. Amen? But the greatest storm our house is ever going to face is the storm of God's wrath to come. Some houses in this room, you're going to be able to go through those storms, and others are not. Some builders that are here today, you can be called wise. And some of us in here today, some of us builders, are fools. Some of us in our houses, we're going to stand through that judgment. And others are going to fall away into hell. And I'm going to ask you this morning, what makes the difference? The difference is the quality of the foundation on which your house is standing on. What foundation is your house on? What foundation, you, the builder, what did you build your house on? The foolish person took no time to think or plan about his house. He just built his house. He left everything to chance. Don't you know that there's people out there that are just building their houses? They're just rolling the dice and taking their chance. Some of us here today just rolling the dice and taking a chance. Don't you know when you roll the dice and take a chance, there's a good possibility you're going to crap out. The other guy took the time to dig into the soil. He was exposed to the bedrock. Then he knew that if I build my house here, when the storms of life come and wash away all the sand from around the house, this bedrock is not going to move. It's going to stay right here. And that's why we sing the song, "On Christ I Stand." All other ground is sinking sand. The bedrock called Christ is never going to move. But he's going to stand strong regardless of what storm of life comes through. You see, when the builders started building, they started. And how they started determined how they finished. If you build your life upon the sands of this world, if you build your life upon religious experience. You know, some people go to church because they just love the way that church do praise and worship. But what about the word of God? What about salvation? What about heaven and hell? What, you go because it's only an hour. What about the other 23 hours you got? A storm ain't going to last 1 hour. A storm will last for days. It'll last for weeks. It'll last for years. And I got to tell you, 1 hour ain't going to help you. You got to take the time and you got to dig into the word. You got to expose yourself to the rock. Rolling the dice. Listen, I roll dice sometime in my life. I ain't always been, you know. And I hated losing my money. But there were some other people that hated losing their money more than me. And they were ready to fight. They were ready to stick you up. They were ready to take back what was once theirs. You can roll the dice if you choose to, but I'm not going to lose that way. If you are a fool, your house will not stand. It's going to fall when it's judged by God. However, if you have looked the other way, you know, there was a song that woke me up this morning about 2 o'clock. I remember years ago, this sister, Barbara Bird in Brooklyn at the Bushwick Church, she used to sing this song, and that was her song. Whenever she sung, she would mostly sing this song. And the song was called Beyond Tomorrow. Beyond tomorrow, our skies will all be blue. Beyond tomorrow, our dreams will come true. Beyond tomorrow, there I'll be with Christ, will be with me throughout eternity. So much so, I had to look the song up, and I'm trying to find Beyond Tomorrow. And when I looked for Beyond Tomorrow, I saw Perry Como. I said, Perry Como ain't sing that song. Not the Beyond Tomorrow I'm looking for. But see, there's something about the Word of God. There's something about the songs we sing. There's something about the titles that we remember. The enemy, he tries to implicate it, duplicate it. But he can't duplicate what God can do. And when he duplicates things and you fall for it, your house is on sand. You see, because in the middle of the two scriptures that I wrote about, that I read, it also talks about false prophets. It talks about people that you need to believe and don't believe. Amen? Because it says that everybody who calls my name, everybody who calls my name ain't right. So rather than ad-libbing, I'm going to read the scripture to you. Amen? Because it is the Word of God. So if you give me a second. That's all right. Somebody find Matthew 7:21. Matter of fact, I find it. Matthew 7. It says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils. And in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And I'm saying that because you can go to people and they'll cast out devils and cast out demons. And you're going to follow them. And you're going to think that you're following Christ because you're following them. But there's something in that scripture you need to know. He said they cast out devils in my name. They prophesied in my name. They didn't do it. It is the name above all name, the name of Jesus, the name that can break every chain, the name that can break down walls, the name that can heal, that can cure, the name that when the demon hears it, he runs. I can't cast out no demons in the name of Philip. They're going to laugh. But there are things that can be done in the name of Jesus, that no other name upon this earth that will ever be sounded can be done. So, when he says, you can cast out demons in my name, I say amen to that. But he also talks about who you are. Are you a fool or are you a wise person? When you be judged by God, he's going to look at the foundations that you stood on. Are your foundations on sand or is it on a rock? The Bible says salvation is found in none other else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then he says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. You can't do 95% of it. You can say, Jesus, save me, and you might get saved. But he says, you got to believe in your heart. There is something about that word, believe. Believe is just not something that you think is okay. And that's what's wrong today. We got too many okay people, too many okay Christians, too many okay churches, too many okay pastors. It's not okay. I was reading something this morning, and it was from Robert Shuler. And he said he could just about tell about a person when he asked them how they're doing from their response. And if your response is in the first seven, he really don't want to have anything to do with you. But when you got down to the last 3, 8, 9, and 10, there's a possibility he wanted to talk to you, that he wanted to be around you. Because if your reaction was that things are great, regardless of how things are around you, but your perspective in Christ, that no matter what I go through, because Christ is with me, things are great, then he wanted to talk to you. He wanted to be around you. Let me tell you something, church. When you go and the enemy tests you, he's going to want to know how you doing. You tell him, I'm doing great. I don't care if your hair's falling out. I don't care if you can't walk. You tell the enemy that you are doing great. Nobody wants an employee that's just doing okay. Don't you know we're all employees of Christ? Don't you know we work for him? Don't you know he wants us to be enthusiastic and great about the work that he has set before us? Has your confession of faith weathered every storm? That's my question to you this morning. There are storms in your life. Has your faith, your confession of faith. Confession is spoken by the mouth. You see, when you have a confession of faith, the devil hears it and he backs off for you. If I don't open my mouth and I don't say anything, you don't know what I have a confession of. Jesus wants us to open our mouths. He wants us to tell the enemy where to go. That's one time he will allow you to say, go to hell. Devil, go to hell. He don't want you telling me or telling somebody else that, but he wants you to tell the devil to go to hell where he belongs. I don't have to repent for that. Don't look at me. I want to know something this morning. Did your profession of faith cost you anything? Because it don't cost you nothing. It don't cost you nothing. Did your profession of faith radically change your life? If you have faith, it should change your life because your whole perspective should be different. If you're going to come to church and have poo-poo looking on your face, who wants to come into a church like that? Who wants to come in there? They could get that outside the door. They don't need to come in here. But your profession of faith should radically change your life, that no matter what it is that you're going through, everything's great. Everything is great because you're not in control anyway. The master is in control. And once you know that the master is in control, everything is great. The devil's not in control, but the master's in control. He's not giving me any more than you can handle. That's why when so many people ask me, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing fine because I'm not in control. Somebody else is in control. And I'm just letting him use me and puppet me the way he wants to. I am powerless. Has your profession of faith weathered every storm? Because everybody's got storms. You don't have a storm. You know when you have a storm? You have a storm when you're little. You have a storm when you're a kid. That's when you have one, a storm. But the kids are outside of here, so everybody in here got more than one storm. Because when you go to work, there's a storm. When you go to the store, there's a storm. When you drive your car, there's a storm. When you talk to your kids, there's a storm. Sometimes, and a lot of times, we talk to each other, and there's a storm. Your faith has got to get you to weather every storm. Remember these three questions I asked you. Because you know what? When your profession of faith is on that rock, you can weather each and every storm. You can weather all the abuse that the enemy's trying to put your way. Don't say, I can't take it no more, because you can. You can. You can. If you believe that you can't take it no more, your mind is going to check you out of here. Your attitude is going to check you out of here. The enemy is going to help you check out of here. Everybody has got to weather something. My storm is different than yours. The abuse I go through is different than yours. If people say to me, well, how do you take it? I take it because this is what I've been assigned to do. I've been assigned for such a time as this. Whether you know it or not, all the things that are going on, part of them, he showed me that 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Because there's a transition going on in our lives right now. Because none of us is going to live forever. We all got that day we're going to have to check in. Some of us are going to check out. It's been ordained already, predestined already. Is it easy? No, it's a storm that you got to go through. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let us stand this morning.